Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, May 19th, 2023. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you.
It's a beautiful day here in the hills, about 74 degrees, 75 degrees. No humidity. Just feels so good.
We're freezing over here on the East Coast.
You're freezing?
Freezing.
Is it raining and cold or what?
Well, we're in the mid-60s, but it's chilly because of the breeze, the wind, and it's cloudy. The sun's not out, and, you know,
It's coming up your way. Hang in there. You'll get it here in a day or two.
Well, I certainly hope so.
You'll get it. Love sitting out to the back deck because I was talking to Marcia a minute ago and watching our cattle down in the field laying under the shade tree and just enjoying a nice quiet afternoon. I got everything done around the house today, so I'm taking the weekend off, step for church, and looking forward to it.
Well, good. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to reporting gold prices today. Gold was up $18.50 today at $1,977. Silver's up 31 cents at $23.90. Platinum was up $12 at $1,073, with palladium up 50, $1,548. The USDX today was down 0.28 at 103.26. Crude oil was down 5 cents at 71.81. Paper markets today, they were negative. They came back a little bit. The Dow was down 109 points. The Republicans walked out of debt ceiling talks.
Yep.
Did you know that?
I heard that.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that as soon. Supposedly, that's why the markets are down. But the S&P was down 6 points, NASDAQ down 30. So they're down, but, you know, not much. European markets were positive, probably with the G7 meeting going on along with Asia, except for the Hang Seng and the China's markets were lower. 10-year yield 3.69, and natural gas today was also higher, 2.596 for natural gas. So I don't know if you have anything on the Republicans walk out of debt ceiling talks.
No, I didn't get that one. You shared that. That's a good story.
Says the White House isn't being reasonable. All right. Well, gee, you just figured that one out. High stake talks over raising the debt limit abruptly came to a halt today. Negotiators walked out and blamed the White House for holding up discussions. Until people are willing to have reasonable conversations about how you can actually move forward and do the right thing, then we're not going to sit here and talk to ourselves. That came from Representative Garrett Graves out of Louisiana. We decided to press pause because it's just not productive. Financial markets dipped on the news. One of the toughest sticking points in the talks has been the question of spending caps, a key GOP demand, but a red line for a significant block of Democrats. As the White House presses for a debt limit hike that would push the next deadline past the presidential election. Actually, they should have it right before the presidential election. But anyway, Republicans are insisting on a spending cap for next year that goes beyond a freeze on the current top line number and actually rolls government spending back to 2022 levels. So that really wouldn't include his infrastructure bill, would it?
It shouldn't. It shouldn't. I know. You're right. It shouldn't.
So I don't know. Kevin McCarthy said, look, we can't be spending more money next year. We have to spend less than we spent the year before. It's pretty easy. Let's see if there's any more juice in there. There's a real difference between the parties on budget issues, and talks will be difficult. This came from a White House spokesperson, told NBC News. The president's team is working hard towards a reasonable bipartisan solution that can pass the House and the Senate. So they really didn't give a whole much, too much details. Senate Majority Leader Chucky advised members to be ready to return to the Capitol within 24 hours' notice. I guess they wanted to go out for Friday night dinner. That's probably the whole thing. I guess that's really about, you know, that's about it on that story.
Well, you know, it's all political. It's all political game. It's back and forth. It's always the same. And votes always split over party, you know, numbers. Republican, Democrats vote their own party most time, and 90% of the time. And that's just a way to play the game.
Yep, I know.
You know, after a while, it's like, gee, I'm getting tired of smelling that same old stench all the time. You know, I mean, let's clean this place up a little bit, but. And I won't get into it, but we know we've been piddling back and forth now for how many years between two parties. And with each administration, we get further and further in debt. I don't care which one it is. And we get further and further into insanity with each administration. So there we go. It is what it is, folks. Maybe some talk a little more conservative. Maybe some of them actually do a little different. But overall, they're basically the same horse, just maybe a different color. That's about it.
Agreed. Agreed. So, what's next? There really wasn't a lot. I mean, I kind of think everybody's just kind of tuned in on to, you know, the debt talks and so forth. You know, oil rebounded on the fading risk of U.S. debt default. Japan's inflation quickens again, putting pressure on the Bank of Japan's view. Well, they're still in negative rates, so what do you expect? China considers moving stakes in bad banks to sovereign wealth fund. You know, it's just the same. They do whatever they have to do in order to...
I'm sorry, Mel. I'm back, by the way. I had an emergency there for a second. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I didn't know you were gone. I was just talking away. So
see,
you know,
that just shows you. See, folks, I'm just a spare part. Go ahead.
But all right. What do you got for us?
Well, I got a lot here today. Different topics, different issues. But this first one, I think it pretty much hits where most of us are. And I know I keep hearing news day that, gee, food prices are starting to come down and things are really looking different now, and, you know, things are better. House prices are dropping like a rock. Like, that's And that's good in one way. It's bad another way because the houses just aren't selling. Nobody can afford them anyway. But battered by inflation, 90 million Americans struggle paying bills as credit card usage spikes. Well, we know we're hitting record highs with personal debt in this country because they have no way to buy groceries unless you use a credit card. A large swath of American consumers are facing financial hardship as they grapple with elevated living costs, record high credit card use, and 2 years of negative real wage growth. This perfect storm could decimate financially fragile households in the next downturn. As many as 89.1 million American adults, or about 38.5%, were found to experience some form of difficulty in covering expenses between April 26th and May 8th, according to Bloomberg, citing new data from the Household Pulse Survey. This is up from 34.4% in 2022 and 26.7% during the same period in 2021. That's quite an increase, folks, over a couple of years. The rising trend is alarming but not surprising. Consumers have been battered by 2 years of negative real rates wage growth, as wages fell to outpace the cost of living. Many consumers have burned through savings and resorted to credit cards. The latest revolving credit data shows consumers appear to be strong, but that's only because they use their plastic cards more than ever to survive. And I read last night or sometime today that sales are up, but only equal to the amount of inflation last month. Now let that sink in, Mel. The sales are up 0.4%, which holds inflation. That should explain why sales are up, shouldn't it? Why the prices are, it looks like more money coming in because inflation brought in more money. Doesn't mean people are buying more. It just means that it just costs more to get it. So the sales look like they're up. It's a false number, but it looks good on paper.
Agreed.
So
I'm going to agree with everything you say today. Agreed.
Oh, good. Well, I like to borrow $10,000 payback dollar a month.
Okay. Just regarding the news.
Okay. All right. Gee, folks, see how she treats me. But anyway, Uber will lease out an entire office building in San Francisco. I guess the corporations, especially the big ones, make they're really cutting back on a lot of things for different reasons. I know it's just to pull the cost in, but rumors that Uber was abandoning one of its new office buildings in Mission Bay have been circulating since 2021. This week, CoStar News finally confirmed it was true and that the entire building at 1725 3rd Street is for lease. This was slash Uber's splashy new San Francisco headquarters about a third, releasing nearly 300,000 square feet into the commercial real estate market. The ride-hailing company never occupied the building. But, Melody, if a third of the building is 300 square feet, imagine how big that building must be. Slice it by a third, the 900,000 square feet of building. That's a huge building. We remain committed to our hybrid work approach, which emphasizes in-person collaboration and continue to welcome employees to Mission Bay campus, as an Uber spokesperson told SF Gate. Tech giants across the bay have been rapidly shedding office space in the wake of moving a hybrid work environment and recent mass layoffs. In March, Pinterest announced the closure of two offices. Reddit slashed the amount of space and occupies almost in half, and Meta eliminated 45,000 square feet. Meanwhile, Google could pay upwards of $500 million as they seek to shrink their office footprint. The vacancy rate in San Francisco was in the first quarter of 2023 climbed 29.4%, up from 27.6% in the fourth quarter of 2022. It's poised to rise this quarter, according to commercial real estate from CBRE. So apparently, they're not growing. This dead space costs them money, so they're just closing it down or renting it out. Obviously, Melody, corporations that we thought would pretty much be untouchable, I mean, aren't untouchable after all, are they?
No, and you know what's interesting is someone made a comment to me the other day about a lot of these office buildings, you know, they have leases. So we don't know if these companies are paying the leases. I'm sure some are, some aren't. People aren't going back to work. So you have those vacant office buildings and so forth. So it'll be interesting. And perhaps, you know, that is really that's really only keeping that area together, are those leases being paid. So It's just another area that will be devastating and just adds another punch to all the other problems that are being created out there. Are you there, Butch?
I am. I'm glad to answer a quick question. But anyway, yeah, this is just a company. I mean, we'll get to it in a minute. We're going to talk about how Portland wants to refund the police, but how businesses are leaving the cities, including San Francisco. When businesses leave, Melody, tax revenue leaves.
True.
But nothing goes down in cost. So yep. who's going to foot the bill?
Yep.
So these things that, you know, I don't know whether they call them blue states, whatever you want to call them, liberals or progressives. Don't they realize that if they run away the businesses, they don't have any revenue. They don't have any revenue coming in from the business themselves. They don't have any revenue and taxes from employees because they're not working. Don't they understand the basics of economics? Are they doing this intentionally? It's hard to believe somebody could be so stupid. Are they doing it intentionally? It's a question you got to ask yourself.
I mean, I mean, of course they're doing it intentionally, but but a lot of these Democratic politicians in these cities and so forth, they've taken up their social ideology and instead of what's good for the city. You know, abortion means money. You're defunding the police is more important. The multitude, the reparations is more important. Legalizing drugs is more important than how a city actually functions and to make it a good place to live and safe for the citizens. So it's weird.
And as long as people let those people stay in control of things, it's not going to get any better either. It's just not. Disney scraps plans for new Florida campus. Mass employee relocation amid DeSantis feud. So DeSantis is having a little bit of an effect on Disney, and good for him. Disney has abandoned plans to open up a new employee campus in Lake Nona, Florida, amid rising tensions with the state's governor. Citing changing business conditions and the return of CEO Bob Iger, Josh DeMaro, chairman of Disney's Parks, Experiences, and Products Division, penned a memo to employees Thursday announcing that the company will not move forward with construction of the campus and will no longer be asking for more than 2,000 California-based employees to relocate to Florida. This was not an easy decision to make, but I believe it's the right one, DeMaro told employees. So 2,000 employees, I don't know whether they'll be put somewhere else, whatever, but that's 2,000 coming out of California. You're supposed to go into Florida. I don't know if they'll break Florida's heart or not, that the people come from California may bring their ideas with them and put Florida in the same place as California. I don't know, but that's just another move that shown that Disney has been touched by the people getting frustrated with their woke agenda. It's starting to cost them money. So it is what it is, Melody. And I think you would think after Anheuser-Busch and what happened to them, people start understanding you just don't go down this road into such big steps. People won't tolerate it. And now Ford come out with a new tough pickup in the rainbow colors. And people are really mad about that also. I don't know if these people don't. Do they think, are they that big that you're immune to people being saying, I'm not going to buy more Ford because of this insanity? I mean, do they not really care? I just don't understand how they can be so blatantly, what we're looking for, insane enough to do this, knowing that they're going to upset probably 3/4 of the people. Don't they care?
You know, I guess they don't.
I mean, they obviously don't, but it doesn't make any sense, does it? Do they not need business any longer? Is it okay to upset, you know, the people and not even not worry about sales anymore? That just doesn't make any sense to me, not at all. But anyway, we got about 30 seconds to break, so we may have time to read this next article. It's not people shoplifting, while retail is focused on organized crime. Now, that doesn't mean that people, that they're not talking about individuals, they're talking about organized gangs go in, hit the store hard with what they want to get and get out of there, folks. It's organized. They actually plan these in advance. They plan for 8, 10, 12 people to go into these stores, and everybody at one time start looting the store. It's hard to stop, hard enough to stop one. Stopping 10 or 12 is almost impossible, and they know it. So we're going to cover that after the break, though, and get into that more detail.
All righty. Sounds great. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. I'm Melody. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. The website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And yes, with gold being heated up, there's all kinds of stories about things, about fake coins, about this and about that, and you know, and some of them are legitimate, but some of them are exaggerated. And so you just give us a call for the truth. Give me a call, 800-375-4188. Silver's coming down. Premiums came down a little bit on the Silver Eagle, 75 cents. But 75 cents is 75 cents, right?
It is.
Yeah. And but the gold premiums are pretty much the same. 90% silver came down a little bit, about the same amount. Silver bars, silver rounds came down about 25 cents. Now, these are wholesale premiums. So, and that has always been the problem of late. So, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
And folks, I'm going to say, folks, you deal with Melody. You're getting it straight. You're getting it straight out. Right? You're getting it right. So don't worry about fake coins or third. Don't worry. Just don't delve in something you're not sure about. Talk to Melody about it. She'll get you straightened out, I promise. Go ahead, Mel.
Well, I just wanted to. I saw something here, and I can't believe this is happening, but I lost it about Ukraine. I don't know if you have anything on Ukraine today.
I do. I do. Yes.
Okay. So we'll just wait for when you're ready to bring that. I'll talk about that.
But back to the idea of organized crime and shoplifting. It's been hard to get an exact read on the rise in retail theft. Best Buy sounded alarm bells back in November 2021 when it said thieves were traumatizing employees. Walgreens was vocal on the issue, too, but then its chief financial officer, James Kehoe, did an about-face telling the analysis in January that the company may have overstated the issue and its impact on sales. But this quarter's batch of retail earnings have brought the theft issue to the forefront again. Both Home Depot and Target cited rising retail theft. The country has had a retail theft problem, Home Depot CEO Richard McPhail said on a call with NBC on Tuesday after its earnings. We're confident in our ability to mitigate and blunt that pressure, but that pressure certainly exists out there. Home Depot's Vice President of Asset Protection told CNBC News in March, crime is increasing at double-digit rates. Increasing at double-digit rates. Really, that's huge. That's huge.
It really is.
I mean, double-digit rates. A percentage point, a piece percentage point is awful. But double-digit rates, how long can businesses tolerate that?
No, unfortunately, businesses will try to do whatever they can to tolerate it. They'll go deeper and deeper in debt to do so, and they never, rarely are they ever declaw, especially your smaller ones. But
well, and of course, they got to pass the cost on the consumer. The consumer
absolutely.
Always pays for all this, folks. Understand that. You and I are the one to pay for it. It's not the store's fault. They got to make money also, so we can't blame them. Mask thieves steal $120,000 in purses from Dior's store in New Jersey. Four mask thieves, folks, this is one of those organized crime ones, stole $120,000 in purses from a Dior store at a Milburn, New Jersey mall on Monday morning. The thieves were unarmed, men wearing black dark clothing. They made off 25 purses, and NewJerseyCom.com reported. Now, listen to this, Melody. The cheapest bag Dior sells is priced at $1,050. My gosh. With the average Dior bag costing $5,000. Employees ran to a back room for safety and called police. Captain David Bonney said the thief sped off in a black SUV before police arrived. So $120,000 in purses. I had no idea what they cost the store. But the cheapest purse in the store is $1,050. Those must be some nice purses, Melody.
Yeah, it has a name on it.
I guess. Yeah. I guess. I mean, the cheapest is over $1,000. That is, but the average price is $5,000. Is that where you buy yours from?
I do.
That's what I thought. Yep. That's what I thought.
I wait for them to go on sale.
You wait till down $2,500 or so, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just different than most people, but even if I had the money, I wouldn't spend it on that. I just couldn't. I mean, I'd buy a purse.
I would not. There's no way. I take it back. And you would too. You said even if you had the money, if you were a multiple millionaire, yeah, you would. It's just people do.
And
if you're a billionaire, then you'd probably spend $10,000. You'd allow Marcia to buy a purse for $10,000.
Well, I might let her buy something, buy it for her, but I never buy it for myself.
You'd buy one of those 150 grand trucks. You bet you would.
I don't know that I can handle that. That bothered my conscience so bad. So many people doing that I could help.
Not when you have $1 billion.
You don't
because you're
care.
Helping people all the time.
Oh, Billion? Am I?
Billionaires, no. Billionaires give to charities. Billionaires do,
I'm sure they do.
Yeah,
I just don't been on a tight budget for so long, I can't imagine spending that kind of money for any reason.
Well, you would.
Well, I tell you what, loan it to me and I'll find out and let you know.
Okay. And give it back to me.
$1,000
a month.
Okay, we're getting, I know, folks, we're getting silly here today, but it's Friday. We've earned it.
Hey, let me, talking of stealing and stuff, California officials are investigating. This was out a couple days ago, so you might already have this. California officials investigating loss of 30-ton shipment of explosive chemicals.
I saw that, yes.
60,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate?
Yep.
It was shipped by rail from Wyoming to California last month. and they're just reporting on it. It left April 12th with us 30 tons. I don't know if that's a lot.
Oh,
seems
a lot.
Like a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
The car was found to be empty after it arrived 2 weeks later at a rail stop in the Mojave Desert, according to a short incident report from the explosive firm.
But they didn't notice it on the way.
They didn't. Right. A Federal Railroad Administration representative, though, says the investigation points to one of the hopper car gates not being properly closed. So they fell out. It leaked out. Is it liquid? I mean, is ammonia nitrate liquid?
Yeah, some of it can be, yes, yes, yes.
So it leaked out. So how is that contaminating the ground? I mean, you'd think you'd be able to see, it'd probably be pretty clear evidence if it had leaked out, wouldn't you think?
Well, you would think so. Can't believe that nobody would notice it. I don't know. I have no answer for that.
So, and then my mind went to, just think of all those terrorists that they've left in this country.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, that's supposed to be what was stolen, the Timothy McVeigh used to blow up the Murrah
the building.
And I don't know. I mean, even the FBI investigating me about that. I thought, may have stolen. I said, I couldn't haul that much in my little Dodge. But anyway, it's just weird stuff. Now, you're not going to believe this, but folks, this is for real. Now, this is for real. I'm reading it. I'm still trying to grasp it. New York to track residents' food purchases and place caps on meat. Did you hear that, Melody?
I did.
New York City will begin tracking the carbon footprint of household food consumption and putting caps on how much red meat can be served in public institutions as part of a sweeping initiative to achieve 33% reduction in carbon emissions from food by 2030. My gosh, you're destroying the food supply in this country. Mayor Eric Adams and representatives from the Mayor's Office of Food Policy and Mayor's Office of Climate and Environmental Justice announced the new programs last month at a Brooklyn Culinary Center run by New York City Health Plus Hospitals, the city's public health care system, just before Earth Day. At the event, the mayor's office, Climate and Environmental Justice, shared a new chart to be included in the city's annual greenhouse gas inventory that publicly tracks the carbon footprint created by household food consumption. Food's the third biggest source of cities' emissions right after buildings and transportation, Adams said. But all food is not created equal. The vast majority of food that is contributing to our emissions crisis lies in meat and dairy products. Adams by himself is a vegetarian. And he says it made him healthier. I'm not going to say it didn't. But they're going to start tracking people's groceries to see if they're eating too much meat and dairy. How far is this going to go, Mel, before somebody says this is way too much?
Well, it's probably being pushed by the insurance industry, the health insurance industry, because, you know, it helps them to decide who they're going to give the medications to and who they're going to help and who they're not going to help. So if you don't fall into their little guidelines like happy little people and obey, well,
it just
puts you out to pasture a little bit faster.
It is just hard for me to concede that people tolerate this. But
probably a lot think it's a great idea.
My.
But they can't see past. They can't see where it can lead. But, they've been wanting to track our food for, you know.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Heck, we're probably, I don't know if we're one of the unhealthiest nations, but we certainly eat the worst, I would think.
Even in
the third world nations where they eat bugs and stuff, that's protein. They probably have a better diet. We do, as long as they have the ability to gather it and the funds to buy it.
Well, they don't have all the McDonald's and Hardee's around either.
Right.
See, that's one reason why. That's why they're healthier for sure. And back to the immigration situation and the crybabies in the sanctuary cities. Chicago's Brandon Johnson, that's a new mayor in Chicago, by the way, Mel. That's the one who took over Lightfoot's position.
Right.
He said, wicked, unconscionable, for Texas to send border crossers to sanctuary cities. Now, that is an oxymoron. If they're sanctuary cities, why is it wicked? The idea, if it's a sanctuary site that you're asking for people to come in, aren't you there to help them, Millie? Isn't that the idea of being sanctuary?
It's the idea.
I thought so. But Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson said it's wicked and unconscionable for Texas to bus thousands of border crossers and illegal aliens to the sanctuary city. This week, on his first official day as mayor, Johnson visited border crossers and illegal aliens who are living inside city police stations on the ground. Repeat that. They're living inside city police stations. During the visit, Johnson said politicians that are using the lives of individuals as a way to score some political points with a certain segment of the population in the country is a veiled attack on Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who's bussed thousands of border crossers and illegal aliens to Chicago and other sanctuary cities since mid-2022. Amelia, where should Abbott put him? Where should he send him to?
Back in Mexico.
I agree. Is that going to happen? No. So Texas doesn't want them all. So Chicago and New York and other places said, hey, we're sanctuary cities. We'll take all that come in here. Then shut your mouth and quit your griping. We're helping you out here.
They don't load them up on a plane and just take them back to Mexico City.
Well, that would, to me, be the best solution, but anyway, he said, it's wicked, it's unconscionable. During his inaugural address, Johnson seemingly welcomed waves of illegal immigration to Chicago, just as the city's black residents on the south side have protested and are suing to protect their neighborhood from becoming a migrant dumping ground. By the way, Brett Johnson himself is black. So his constituents that are black are mad because they're dumping them in his neighborhood, which they should be. They should be. But apparently he's not going to pay much attention to them. But he's whining because they sent him up here to him, and he's the one asked for. And Mayor Eric Adams said nearly half of New York City hotel rooms are now filled with illegals. Ah! And you wonder why tourists aren't coming. People, think about this. Nearly half of hotel rooms in New York City today are filled with newly arrived border crossers and illegal aliens living rent-free at the expense of local taxpayers. Since the spring of last year, nearly 70,000 border crossers and illegal aliens have arrived in the sanctuary city of New York City, many bused from Texas by Governor Greg Abbott. Their figure represents a fraction of the millions of border crossers and illegal aliens who have been released to the United States interior or successfully crossed the border. For months, Adams has been giving out lucrative contracts to the city's powerful real estate industry, which is housing tens of thousands of migrants in hotels. Most recently, for example, the New Yorkers are set to foot an annual 75 million. Listen to this. This is unbelievable. New Yorkers are set to foot an annual $75,000 million bill to put up border crossers and illegal aliens in Manhattan's iconic Roosevelt Hotel. So it's going to cost the city $75 million a year to keep them in one hotel. It didn't cost city a dime. It cost taxpayers a dime. So they're going to pay that kind of money to one hotel to house these people in. What hotel, Mel, do you think is worth $75 million a year to be full?
I don't know.
I mean, and the taxpayers are okay with that? I mean, the gall of these of this
obviously they are.
I mean, I want $75 million just for one hotel. What would it cost when they start going to three or four of them, and five or six of them? And now over half the rooms are filled with illegals right now, and the taxpayers in New York City are footing the bill for it.
Yeah,
and you know they're going to, the city's going in debt. They don't have that money all coming in, so they're just going in debt. And finance, just like the federal government does, going further and further in debt till they become totally insolvent. But I guess it just doesn't seem to bother some people. I don't know. Obviously, Adams and Johnson have a lot in common. They're both not thinking real clearly. Anything you add to that?
No, it's disturbing.
It is disturbing. Because that's costing people money. I'm sure New Yorkers are probably, most of them are not wealthy people like you and I. They're living okay, but they're not wealthy. And that cuts into their pay. I know they're going out in taxes. They're paying taxes all along, but it's getting them further and further in debt. It costs money. So I don't know. After the break, I'll share something that is kind of, I think, exciting. 24 Republican governors offered to help Texas defend its southern border. Now, if they really mean that and do it, that'd be great.
It would. And we're heading into our break. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And we're back. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. So, what would you like to talk about next, Butch?
Well, I want to share this. If they would really mean this, if these states would really mean this and really do what they want to say they're going to do, you know, Texas was going to vote on a referendum to secede, were they not? It didn't happen. They didn't vote. For some reason, they canceled it. So I'm beginning to think Texas.
And that's what always happens. I mean,
it does.
States have tried it. They don't do it because they have too much to lose from the federal government.
I mean, after a while, you know, this blowing hot air gets to be very hollow and it means nothing. But 24 Republican governors offered to help Texas defend its southern border. And that's all well and good, folks, if they really do it and mean it, and Texas would join them in the battle and say that we're no boys crossing. We're cutting off all. Everyone come across the river. And I don't care whether they're white, black, Hispanic, I don't care who they are. We're done. For a while to get this sorted out. We're done. Don't come across the border. We're not going to let you in. Texas Governor Greg Abbott put the word out that Texas needs help handling the situation at the southern border. 24 Republican governors stepped up and answered the call. This is the job of the federal government, but Joe Biden is MIA, so someone has to fill the void. 24 Republican governors have responded to Texas Governor Greg Abbott's call for help to secure its border with Mexico. The federal government's response handling the expiration of Title 42 represented a complete failure of the Biden administration, the governor said in a joint statement referring to the end of the public health authority. The Title 42 allowed for the quick expulsion of foreign nationals who had entered the United States illegally during the COVID-19 pandemic. With its end, an estimated 150,000 foreign nationals from all over the world, folks, all over the world, are waiting in Mexico to illegally enter the U.S. at any moment, border officials say. This is after at least more than 7 million people have been apprehended or reported invading capture by law enforcement since President Joe Biden's been in office. Let me repeat that. This is after at least more than 7 million people. Folks, in our whole state of West Virginia, we got about a million and a half. This is after at least seven million people have been apprehended or reported evading capture by law enforcement since President Joe Biden's been in office. 2.5 years. The Biden administration recently sent 1,500 military personnel to the border and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security sent several thousand federal employees to help Border Patrol agents expedite processing of foreign nationals into the U.S. not to block their entry. Now, folks, they didn't go down there to block them. They're hurrying up and getting them in. Isn't that wonderful, Melody? They're actually sending them down there to get, hey, come on in, we'll get you processed faster. Get in here and get your freebies. Here's your phone. Here's your food stamp card. Go for it.
I hear you.
Oh. The governor's pledging support in addition to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's deploying troops and resources in the next 24 hours, include those of Alabama, Alaska even. Imagine that. Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, New Hampshire, Nevada, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Where's Pennsylvania and Maryland, you two? You and Todd, I join them. Yeah, where are they at?
I don't know.
You know, they sent them down there, thousands of workers, but not to keep them out, but to help them process more in. Maybe I'm just a little bit dense, but that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how that's going to stop the bleeding of this country. Maybe get them in faster. Do you?
I have no idea. No.
I thought you had to figure it out by now. And I thought you had to figure it out by now.
I do, but...
You don't want to share it. Portland wants to refund its police. Duh, I think we made a mistake out here. Portland, Oregon was one of the leading voices in the defund the police movement in the wake of George Floyd's death. Politicians gave in to the demands of like-minded rioters and activists and began cutting the budget of the city's Bureau of Police. Now, folks, these people are rioting and burning buildings, taking over whole city blocks, and they give in to them. So did they defund the police? Oh, my gosh. On his face, this should have been seen as a bad decision. You think so? Since the very people making the demands were rioting and damaging private and public property. So at the time when a greater police presence was needed, city government cut back on police. The politicians gave in to the demands of criminals and expected them to what? Go home? Play nice? Defunding the police had just emboldened the criminals wherever it was tried, endangering lives and driving away people and businesses. Now, with the damage done and its tax base shrinking, Portland has realized it needs police. No duh. Unfortunately, now it's more burdensome to fund them and harder to attract officers to a city where they know the government doesn't want them. Gee, if only they had maintained their police force and supported them when they had the chance. They might not find themselves in the predicament they do. The city recently launched a new task force focused on cracking down on retail and vehicle theft to halt the city's rampant crime. To do this, they are working to hire more DAs and investigators, which means they are putting more money toward policing after cutting the budget by $15 million. It's about time. Portland residents are three times more likely to be a victim of property crime than the average U.S. citizen, according to the Neighborhood Scout. The city had more than 63,000 property thefts last year, according to police statistics. The 11,000 or so vehicles that were stolen last year set a new record in the city. And it's the residents who are suffering. That is, if you can find a Portland resident, those who can are leaving the city, not want to risk their lives for a city living, and they're taking businesses with them. Since the pandemic, public data found that over 2,600 businesses filed change of address with the U.S. Postal Service after leaving their downtown Portland zip codes. This will only exacerbate the problem. The city government is trying to pay for needed services with their tax bases shrinking, but they did it to themselves. Melody, why would you run off the ones that stand between you and the rioters and burn down your home?
You know, again, of course, we're going to say by design one more time, but again, they're so caught up in this, I mean, their fight for what they think is right, but it's so wrong. It's, I don't know. They're nuts.
If it's something that was something easy to see, that wasn't so hard to decide between the two options, but this was such an obvious option.
I know.
You know, I mean, this is just like black and white. You can tell difference in the two. Wow. Now, some news on the war. According to ERA, accounting ERA, in Zelensky's favor, collect $3 billion in extra weapons. Is that story you're talking about, Melody?
No, it's another one about the F-16s.
Oh, okay. I covered that Monday, I think.
No, and he just did it while he was over in the G7.
A couple of nations were going to give him $20 million. I don't know who else is going to help him, but two other nations, Germany, I think, is one of them, but he's going to give him the F-16. But anyway, just 3 days after Politico reported the latest authorization of military aid to Ukraine was on pace to run out midsummer. Guess what, Melody? The Pentagon on Thursday disclosed it had made an accounting error with previous weapon shipments, overvaluing them by about $3 billion. And just like that, the Pentagon says it's now free to hand over another $3 billion in weapons, ammunition, supplies without asking Congress for approval. Bradley fighting vehicles are prepped for sea transport to Ukraine at North Charleston, South Carolina, in January 2023, and they're shipped mail already. We've discovered inconsistencies in how we value the equipment that we've given. An unnamed senior defense officer, told Reuters, adding that it's possible that the $3 billion discrepancy could grow even larger as the Department of Defense continues scrutinizing its accounting error. Many of the weapons transfers to Ukraine have come from Pentagon stockpiles rather than straight from a factory. According to two DOD officials, the Pentagon used replacement costs for these, but should have used the Pentagon's net book value, which is the Pentagon's original purchase cost minus depreciation. What? They count the depreciation on an unused machine and weapon and ammunition, and they count the depreciation and give them to them a discount? So they made errors of $3 billion so they can ship them now without being more approval? I beg your pardon? Okay, Millie, there you go. No, there's nothing you can fix.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I mean, it's just amazing. It really is.
And Russia fields increasingly desperate war machines cobbled from spare parts. Whether this is true or not, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that Putin was so stupid that he thought he could go into Ukraine and not take him out without depleting his own weapons and getting down to his last little machinery they're just cobbled together with string and bubble gum. I mean, come on. Was he that unprepared? Did he think he could take on the United States and who knows who else in a full-blown war when he can't even fight a nation like Ukraine? I realize that he's fighting the European Union and us also by supplies given to him, but that still shouldn't be enough to slow this man down if he wanted to do it bad enough. The Russian army is innovating its tanks by running them into artillery, turning them into artillery replacements and outfitting them with anti-aircraft and naval guns. Russia's filling tanks up anyway. They're taking old equipment from World War II and 1970s even, and making weapons out of them, putting them in place because they don't have the right material, they don't have the tanks to fight them with on the front line.
Well, you know, just real quick, Butch, you know, yeah, there was a handful of European countries that have the F-16s, but they needed Biden's approval because The U.S. would have had to approve that third-party transfer because of the jet-sensitive U.S. technology. Biden gave that approval.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he gave that approval today.
That is hard to believe. It's hard to believe. I have a good news story. It may take 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to get started now, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. 20-year-old pregnant from rape refuses to abort baby and gives him new life. In the face of adversity, it takes an immense strength of spirit and of a heart full of faith to turn an act of evil into an act of love. Kathleen Folan, a college junior who became pregnant from a horrific act of rape, found the courage within her deep Christian faith to acknowledge that the precious life developed inside her. Raised in a devout home in Spokane, Washington, Kathleen has always held faith as her guiding light. She grew up dreaming of a future that included college, a successful career, marriage, and children. Her vision, however, was brutally interrupted when she was raped by an acquaintance. "Little did I know I was walking into harm's way," she recalls. When she later discovered she was pregnant, shock washed over her. But she also knew a life, a human being who would have his first breath, his first smile, first steps, and first day of kindergarten, and all the amazing mysteries that life has to offer, who was inside of me. Hefting's faith led her to see the innocent life growing inside her, not as an unwanted consequence, but as a sacred trust. God entrusted him to me for some reason, and I had to figure out the best life possible for him. Despite unimaginable circumstances, Kathleen chose life over abortion. Abortion was never an option for us. She asserts, standing firm in her belief that every life from the moment of conception holds inherent value and dignity. She also rejected the notion that rape should grant an exception to terminate a pregnancy. Killing the unborn child doesn't take the rape away, but adds the guilt of a mother knowing she destroyed the life inside her. Kathleen's own mother, an adoptee herself, served as a beacon of strength and hope. Kathleen vividly recalls her mother's story and how her birth mother attempted to abort her 3 times. "We all thank God abortion was illegal in 1945, where she and her children would not have existed." Faced with the monumental decision of adoption, Kathleen sought God's guidance, and after much contemplation, she found a family that shared her faith and values. Barry and Liz Sullivan from Maryland, Washington, were chosen to be the adoptive parents of Kathleen's son, Nathan, a name that means a gift from God. Wow. Folks, I probably won't have time to finish all this, but what a beautiful, beautiful story. And said Kathleen's journey wasn't without trials. The aftermath of her decision brought about a cessation of grief and struggle, but her faith never wavered. She once again said, "Without my relationship with God, I don't think I could have been at so much peace about my decision." Today, Kathleen lives with her loving husband and her 3 children. She is now a director of family and youth ministries at a church in San Francisco, California. "I never could have dreamed that our story would turn out so beautifully," Kathleen reflects. "I would find a husband greater than any man of my dreams, that we would have our own 3 beautiful children, and that my boys would become so close to Nathan." Wow, what a beautiful story. Folks, we love you. Stand on truth. Stand on God's glory. Stand on faith and stand in love for Christ. And don't compromise wrong and right. If it's wrong, don't do it. If it's right, then do it. Stand up for the truth. Don't be ashamed to speak your mind. If somebody gets mad at you, get over it. They crucified our Savior because he was plain spoken. But he didn't stay dead. We won't either. Stand for the truth. Stand for what's right all the time for everybody's sake, especially your children's sake. Do it for the glory of God. And hopefully, by the grace of God, I will see you back here with you on Monday. We'll talk again. Okay, have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.